We know you're thinking about building a direct booking business, but the idea of not knowing who's staying at your property might have you second guessing. It's totally normal to feel overwhelmed, especially if you're already managing everything else. The last thing you want is another complex screening system to manage.
That's why we turn to Superhog. Superhog integrates seamlessly with your direct booking strategy. You get all the benefits of professional guest screening without any extra hassle.
Plus, with their protection services, you're covered for up to $5 million in damages on all verified bookings. It's the kind of peace of mind every host needs.
Interested but not sure if it's right for you? Book a free demo today. Get all your questions answered and find out if Superhog is the perfect fit for your business.
Just click the link in our show notes and schedule today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome furniture, decor, and supplies for our short-term rentals?
We're going to let you in on our secret weapon, Manoan. They are a platform for hosts that offers steep discounts on over 150 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, and California Designed In. But these discounts are for hosts and hospitality professionals only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Pottery Barn, wanting to give our listing that wow factor. But you know us, we're all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
That's where Manoan steps in with the awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. No cost to join, no monthly membership. It is completely free. Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and add items across partner brands to your cart in just a few clicks.
Right? And the best part, when guests inevitably ask you about that awesome mattress that you purchased through Manoan at a major discount, no less, you can point them to an elegant digital storefront that Manoan lets you set up for free. They call it a showroom. You not only have the opportunity to earn affiliate income on items your guests purchase, even for some things you didn't purchase through Manoan, like Amazon, but you can also promote products sold by local businesses. Talk about creating a five-star worthy guest experience.
So head over to Manoan.com/TFV_podcast. That's Manoan.com/TFV_podcast, or simply click the link in our show notes to sign up and let the savings and earnings begin.
Hey, fellow co-hosts. Do your property owners keep adjusting rates or stepping in without your input? It is time to take control. Join us on Monday, October 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Owner's Statements Crash Course. We'll teach you how to create professional, data-driven reports that set clear boundaries, maximize revenue, and make you the go-to expert for your owners. This is about retaining happy owners, scaling your business, and reaching 10K months and beyond. You'll leave with a step-by-step plan to grow. Sign up at thanksforvisiting.com/course. That's thanksforvisiting.com/course. And yes, we'll send you the replay if you can't make it live, but you gotta sign up and we'll see you there. Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you. You're going to our website, strshare.com, sharing all the information about your short-term rental so that we can spread the love here on our podcast, to our email list, and of course on Instagram every single Sunday. And then who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at
The Wooder House, and that's W-O-O-D-E-R House, at The Wooder House. And I want to point out, everyone, please do this today if it's not somewhere on your feed. They have a reel that actually shows a person working at the desk in their property. First of all, it has an amazing view, but I feel like so often we show the desks, but they show it kind of like with the chair open and the laptop there. And then when you start the reel, you actually see the person working at the desk, and then they take that work from home person into a hammock. So I just think we kind of miss out on, like, we say like, oh, we have a, you know, work remote friendly, but to like actually see it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that would be awesome to go there and work there. And I see that there is a proper setup. So I actually needed that visualization to put myself at that desk working, and like, that would be pretty awesome. Work a little bit, go outside to the hammock. So share those actual moments that maybe don't get shared as much, like the desk and someone actually sitting there using their computer, looking at the awesome view, and they see that you have that specific setup for them. So there's tons of other things on this feed for sure, but I really just wanted to highlight that, how sometimes we have amenities that we kind of look over that might be the exact reason why someone is choosing to stay with you. So well done. Yes.
All right. This episode is for all those, actually, you could tune in this episode as one of two people. Maybe you're someone who is thinking about hiring either a co-host or a property manager, and you're like, how do I know if they're good or not? How do I know they're going to love my property as much as I do and really want for its success as much as I want for it? Or you might be a budding co-host yourself or a property manager yourself, and you're growing, or you want to see how someone else is doing it and killing the game. Today we have Stephanie West, who is the COO of Hostwise, managing over 100 units in Pittsburgh. She began her journey as a cleaner with a $50 bid on Turno and has transformed that humble start into a business with over $4 million in sales. And here's how you know we love it here on Thanks for Visiting: an overall rating, 5-star rating of 4.95, which is really hard to do when you have so many properties and it's been several years in business. Annette and I led a panel at IMN this summer, which is the short-term rental conference for IMN. And we hopped on a Zoom to talk to our panel before we head out to the conference. And Stephanie stuck out like a sore thumb. We were like, she is our girl.
The smartest thumb.
Oh my God. The way she was just talking, like, she was, first of all, her confidence is infectious. And she doesn't apologize for being an incredible host and for having an incredible company and for being really good at what she's really good at, which is, and she says it here on her intake form, that cleaning. She goes, I am the market leader here.
In all caps. This is where her confidence, and when I told, she feels like it, she knows she is the market leader. And this is also for someone that if you're just starting out and you have to hire a cleaner, there's some really good information in here. And we hear it all the time from so many people, like, I kind of want to start my own cleaning company because they think like, they've got it down. This is an interesting thing too, if you're trying to find maybe an alternate niche inside the short-term rental world.
We asked Stephanie, how do we get the best cleaners to work with us? How does that happen? And I cannot wait for you to hear our answer. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you. And we've got an agenda here.
We do. And we want to start at the beginning with your $50 bid as a cleaner that like led you, which I always love these hosting stories because it's always accidental. But how did this $50 bid for a cleaning get you started in this industry? Take us back.
So like you said, completely accidental. I did not mean to be in this industry or have a company at all. I came out of a 10-year career in the show production and touring world. I just couldn't travel anymore. I couldn't be on the road. I was like, I got to do something else. I moved back to my hometown, needed a side hustle instantly, started bartending. I was serving. And for me, it was the worst job in the entire universe. So I went home one night, and don't judge me for this part of my story, but I Googled jobs for people who hate people. Just because, I mean, if that's, that was where I was at that point in my life. I mean, now all day I talk to people.
I totally get it.
Let's
tell the listeners though, that event planning, let's give them some, Sarah and I know this, but can you just tell them the type of event planning you were doing? Cause it was pretty intense with hundreds of thousands of people around you, I feel like.
Oh,
so people
sure.
understand where this kind of comes from too, being submerged in so many people.
Kind of did the same thing, how I started in this industry. I was an audio engineer. I did something called front of house, which is basically live sound for live shows. Started at club level, slowly started working my way up, got bigger tours, noticed, you know, I think I could run this a little bit better, started assisting with tour managing, and then got on bigger tours, started doing more corporate stuff, and was on the road for 6 years straight. I did a lot of festivals. I did one large arena tour, but my bread and butter was club level stuff. So it was all live music. I would take stuff here and there where I would do corporate events or just different conferences and things like that. But basically live music was my life.
And that's a lot of people-ing.
All the time. And it set me up really well for this industry though, because you start before everybody, you end after everybody, you never really clock out. You're kind of always on call for just whatever the universe decides to throw at you that day. But, it really set me up in a sense of I was taking 20 to 30 people to 50 cities, but now I kind of do, you know, 50 turnovers in one day. Like I flip-flopped it a little bit, but it also set me up to understand what life is like from a professional traveler perspective.
Okay. So you Googled jobs for people that don't like people.
Yeah, because that's, I did not. Anyone
in your non-people era then?
Anyone who worked in the service industry in a restaurant can completely sympathize with that statement. But cleaning came up and I started kind of, I'd never cleaned professionally, but I enjoyed it. And I thought this would be a really great way to kind of just take a break, but still be physical. I like to be on the move. I like the instant gratification of cleaning. So I started just, you know, on Craigslist and weird stuff, just everything you do when you're getting into something and you don't have all the information. Did some stuff and somebody contacted me and said, hey, I have an Airbnb. Would you like to clean it? And I did it. And I went, this is my vibe. I'm in here when nobody's in here. I like kind of the decor and making things look aesthetically pleasing. But just kind of dipped my toes in, started researching it a little bit more, found Turnover B&B, which is now Turno, and loaded up a profile on there and got bids instantly. So I started putting bids on houses and cleaning Airbnbs and it picked up very fast. And I realized very quickly that if you were reliable and great to communicate with, this was going to be easy. I could do all of them. And I was coming in after people and I was really surprised that at the quality of cleaning and just the units. And when I was talking to the hosts and telling them, you know, this is broken, you're kind of understocked here. Like I would maybe change, you've got the wrong bed size sheets. Is this what these people have been doing with you? And it would, at first it was funny because people would be like, you okay in there? Like it's been 3 hours. My other cleaner is 40 minutes. And I went, you know, girl, I got to do an overhaul in here. I don't know what you're talking about. And it didn't matter if I was getting paid for a deep clean or not. It was just, this is what needs done was my mentality. So I kind of got used to that side of it. But it snowballed really quickly where a lot of my current clients went out and they grew and they got more units because now they had someone that they knew could handle it. And pretty soon they just kind of started handing everything over to me. They went, do you want to be loaded into our systems? Why don't you just look at our calendar? Do you want a co-host? Can you go over here? I have a guest that's locked out. They would call me at 9 p.m. And I went, I'm kind of the go-to for a lot of hosts and management companies at this point. I should really get my systems together, my pricing together, and all of that. The third client I ever got was, is now my business partner at Hostwise. So we kind of grew up together, and it was really funny because when I got into his unit, I went, this guy doesn't care at all. You know, it was like, I just went, he doesn't like this. Is like, this furniture is broken here and that, and all that it was, is it wasn't being communicated to him. But as soon as I told him that, he was on it. He had me new stuff. He liked that I was letting him know ahead of time, we're about to be low on these products. And he kind of talked to me and said, well, why don't we make a calendar, and started building systems with me. And we just kind of consistently checked in with one another. And he would come back, you know, he was from out of state at the time, and he would come back 3 months later and I'd be like, oh, I'm cleaning 40 properties kind of thing. And he was like, this was fast. And he started to grow. And he said, do you know anybody who would want to set up a unit? And in my brain, I went, that sounds like the most fun job in the entire universe for me. Little did I know that not everyone loves putting together furniture, painting, and doing wallpaper. But I was so pumped. I was so excited. So I started kind of weaving my way into the staging side of things as well. But we sat down one day and he went, you're really good at this. I'm really good at this. We should partner up and start something. And at that point, I had been cleaning for about 2 years and I had 80 units and I was doing it with a team of 11. And we were killing it. I didn't have a cleaning score below 4.8, and some of these houses had a lot of problems. So that was positive feedback for me. I knew I was doing something right. But a lot of these other hosts had asked me to start something with them too. But Chad, who is my partner, his units were very different. The type of guests that he got, they followed rules. He spent more money on quality items. Like, you could just tell he cared a little bit, and he was going in the direction of, I want to do this better than anyone. And our goals really aligned when we talked about it. So we kind of just jumped in together, and that's how Hostwise started. And, you know, we did $1 million in sales our first year. So that little $50 bid on a one bedroom apartment in 3 years turned into $1 million of sales our first year open.
I love it. But we want to talk about hosting, but I have to go back to this cleaning company.
Yeah.
11 team members, mm-hmm. 80 units. Were they, because this will help hosts that are listening or people that are thinking, how can I layer on? Maybe I am going to start my own cleaning company in the city. Those 11 team members, were they full-time? Were they contractors? And were you still physically cleaning when you had the 11 team members also?
I was always cleaning. I couldn't get myself out of it. At that point, you know how they say you want to work on your business, not work for your business. Mm-hmm. I was doing great, but it was kind of bananas for a second. I couldn't get caught up and I couldn't get people trained. And everybody runs into that when they grow. So I think it's good that people hear that story and they go, oh, like, she had it all figured out. When no, I was killing myself sometimes and doing 4 or 5 units in a day. But a lot of it was, I really cared about my team and I didn't want to overload them. So I would take the tough stuff myself. And it did work out for me in the end, because I still have cleaners from that first year that I started that clean for me now. And we're five years in. So I really cared about how much money they made. Everyone started off as 1099s. And as we grew, you know, you have to move to like a W-2 model, or I know some people do piece rate as well. For me, 1099 seemed to be the cleaner's favorite. We all kind of sat down at one point and I said, what works better for you guys? What do you want to do? And towards the end, what was really helpful for me, I had a lot of part-time people. Because you guys know this, your Sundays and Mondays are totally loaded. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you might not have too much going on. So I really kind of leaned into that part-time gig economy work. You know, not everybody wants to drive Uber or do DoorDash or get a retail job. When you're looking at cleaning and you're doing it 1099, the team that I have now can make, you know, $35 to $50 an hour, depending on their strength of hustle. So it's like, it's one of those things where I said, this can really help people out. It was great for moms. That 11 to 4 mm-hmm. in the middle of the day worked well for people. It was kind of this unique way to make money quickly.
Yeah. Now you're involved in HostWise and you are COO. So you're chief yes. operations, right? So operations mm-hmm. is your jam. And I'm assuming that you are still are you the direct report for the cleaning team?
Yeah. So I have, yeah, like I will always have a hand in it. And we've grown and we've added people to the team, but I've had people that have been here and know the way that we do things that they do jump in and help like a team lead. But one of my learning points from being in having the cleaning company and having so many different clients is they would put me in touch with VAs all the time. And when I would get information from the VAs or whoever was handling communications, and then I was getting in houses, I was basically like, none of this, the information was getting lost in translation everywhere. Or when I eventually started to be able to see communications with the guest, what the VA had told me or some feedback that we had received wasn't the same things that the guests were reporting. So I knew when I started a company, I wanted to eliminate that side of it. So all of our cleaners, we have a Slack channel based on territory, and they have a direct line to me, to Chad, the CEO, to each territory manager. They're kind of like junior ops managers that handle each part of our city. But I take a direct line from all of them. So if anybody has a question, sometimes I answer it. Sometimes a cleaner that's been with me for 2 weeks answers it, or sometimes a cleaner that's been with me for 5 years will answer it. We're really a team sport. Everybody's got a place and there's a lot of communication day to day.
Can we pause on the VA and cleaner communication?
Yes.
As listeners are hearing this and they are managing both a virtual assistant and the cleaner, what did you see most was being lost in communication? Like, how can the owners, you know, do they need to go to the property and kind of see what's going on? Like, what were those communication? Because I can see how that just becomes a snowball over time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just gets worse and worse and worse. What was that miscommunication that you saw the most? And, you know, how can we stop that from happening?
Well, the biggest thing that surprised me when I started to gain momentum cleaning and getting into several units was how much the host didn't know about their property. There was a lot of times where I showed up and they couldn't get me inside. Now you have to remember too, this was 5 years ago. So this was in the old days of Airbnb and short-term rentals. There weren't a lot of systems. There wasn't a lot of software for things like this. So people were just kind of figuring it out as they went. But I still run into it as we bring on new units.
I was going to say, I think you say it was a long time ago. I think things are still, you'll find that
yeah,
very often.
No,
stuff.
Yeah. You're spot on. but they just don't know their houses. And I think that's crazy. But the VAs, they would say things to me like, we got a report from a guest that we'll just say the drain in the sink is clogged. And I would go in there and I'd be like, okay, there's no problem. And then I would look at it on I would look on it on their communicate or the whatever property management system they were using. I'd pull up Guesty or Hostaway or whatever, and I'd see what the guest would say. And it was like, okay, they've confused this with another unit completely. So, in or just saying things like, my personal feedback would be maybe changing the quilts to a duvet cover or whatever it was. It was never communicated to me as the guest said it. Or if there was a maintenance issue, it was coming to me, and I'm kind of like, I'm not the maintenance guy, which right. I think that just goes sideways with cleaners all the time now. I'm in a lot of cleaning groups, and the feedback that I hear is, you know, kind of host expectations of what I'm supposed to do day to day. And I went, you have to be very clear what you're there to do and what you're there not to do.
That like hits me at my core.
Yes.
We would hear these hosts, Stephanie, you know, and at my travels or getting to know other hosts, and just the expectation they have for their cleaner. They really wanted the cleaner to like run their company.
Yeah. It's unfair.
For peanuts. And it's like, well, no wonder your reviews aren't great and your place isn't as clean as you'd like, because you don't have any brand standards. Your communication is lackluster. You're asking way too much of them. They need other clients because what you pay them isn't enough to live off of. So therefore they're trying to get as much done in a day so they can feed their family. It's this like snowball.
Choosing the right property management system is a big decision. We did our research. There are so many options and features out there, but we've used Hostfully for years, and it's the best fit for our business.
Exactly. Hostfully isn't just a PMS. It is the backbone of how we operate. Managing listings across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com is seamless, so no double bookings and no stress.
And the custom guidebooks, total game changer. Our guests get everything they need, like check-in details and our favorite restaurant recommendations, before they even have to ask.
Plus, Hostfully integrates with everything. Guest screening, payments, and even our in-house damage waiver. It's saved us so much time. And now their new Inbox AI is another time saver. It pulls from our guidebooks, property details, and even the surrounding area to help us respond quickly to guest questions.
TFE listeners get $100 off onboarding with code TFE100 at hostfully.com/TFE. The link's in the show notes, so book your demo today.
So I want to go into the fact that, and you said this too in your onboarding form for this show, of how like you really feel like you're the market leader when it comes to cleaning in general. So my question to you is, I think everyone out there wants to know, what is your secret to finding a great cleaner? Mm-hmm. Where are they? How do we talk to them? And what do they want these days?
I think what most people don't understand when they're getting a cleaner is you have to ask yourself, why should they want to work for me? Mm-hmm. You hear this all the time, and we get it from guests. They're like, well, I guess if you don't want my money, like they don't. if it stinks to go clean your place, they don't want to go there. Time is money. Understanding what their day to day is like, and we really cater to our cleaners. I think that it's the most important role in short-term rentals. They're directly responsible for my guest experience. They're the last person in there before somebody has their first time in one of my units. That's a big responsibility. And for anyone who hasn't had to do it, I think there's this idea that you walk in and you wipe off surfaces and you leave. It's like these girls and guys, they're carrying just the amount that your body takes on. This in our city, it's nothing but stairs. So they're carrying laundry upstairs. We did a data analysis because I love this stuff. And it was, our cleaners on average do 36 flights of stairs on a day of work, and they walk 5.2 miles. So people need to get that kind of stuff in their head about what their day to day is like. But when I'm talking to a new cleaner, I always know the points that I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody who is interested in this industry. I almost never take somebody from residential cleaning. Residential cleaners do not like this stuff. Sometimes people will hop over into our industry and they'll enjoy it, but they don't understand the pricing is totally different. Mm-hmm. Our units turn over on average every 3.5 days. I have a clean. It's not the same kind of clean that you do once a month or a biweekly clean for a residential. So they're trying to price things the same way and trying to re-educate someone on how to run their business doesn't always work. But sometimes that's what it takes. I've gotten people who are interested and I'll sit down with them and I'll go, I want you to look at the big picture here. This is what you're making with residential clean. These are your hours. This is your run rate. And then on this side, this is what Airbnb does. They're two totally different worlds. They can't be compared at all. But people who are in the short-term rental cleaning, as soon as they find me, they do not leave. And it's because of a couple things. First of all, like I said, I cater to cleaners. They have between 11 and 4 to make money. And it's important to me that nothing affects their money-making time. And my operations and my systems have really been based on making it easier and quicker for them to get through their cleans. We do 1099s at this point. So they're paid per house. And that was the choice of my cleaners. We sat down, had a conversation. I said, what do you guys like more? Not enough people ask them what they want. But with territories, what I ended up doing is we kind of keep cleaners in these separate territories. So I don't want them having a drive time over 5 minutes. And there are a couple exceptions on busy days, but we stay pretty true to that. I also put in hubs in all of my mini territories. So if they run out of something or if there's an emergency, within 5 minutes, they are at a hub, which is a mini warehouse. They can grab an oven pan. If I don't want them scrubbing an oven pan, it's not worth their time. They can just replace. They've got sheets, mattress covers. I've got lamps. I've got doorknobs, whatever you need. Like, we can just switch that out quickly. Just eliminating that time that they're sitting there working on something when I want them making money. Also very clear. And we touched on this a little bit before. I don't want them doing anything but cleaning. So we do rely on them heavily to report things to us. Lost items, bad guests, because we want to flag those guests. We don't want them back. Any maintenance issues, they help us out with all of that. And then I'll send my team out to handle those based on priority. But they clean and that's it. We offer laundry service, but I do it a little bit different than everybody else does at this point, in that we do towels in the house and linens through laundry service. And that was something my team and I kind of decided on together when I sat down with the cleaners. Obviously, laundry. Everybody hates it. It's such a time suck. I can't wait until time travel is real. It's just the dryer waiting situation is insane. But we decided to do towels in units because A, when I wasn't doing towels or linens, and it was all full laundry service, I was getting bare minimum cleans at all time. It was how quick can I get in and how quick can I get out? And we were missing some major points. And the truth is, most of our houses take one load to do towels. And by the time they dry, you're looking at an hour and a half to an hour and 45. Anything under that, it's all going to laundry service anyway. But I also didn't want them to have to carry that much weight on them. So we talked about it and they agreed that it was a good idea. It saves us a little bit of money. But also the idea of, it helps me keep extra towels stocked for guests and housekeeping closets. When everything was going to laundry service, it was hard keeping those backups inside. So it just eliminated everything and gave my cleaners a little bit of money, a little bit extra to do towels in the units. So that's one thing that I think kind of we only do at this point, but it worked for us. It might not work for everybody. But also I spend a lot of time teaching my cleaners, another part of my success. And I love these two stories. I love sharing these. But when I had my cleaning company, I had a girl come to me. She was 21 years old. She was working in retail. She was interested in learning about cleaning. Her mom was a cleaner. And I went, I'll show you everything you need to know. And she honestly almost got fired. She was not good. But we worked on it and worked on it because her willingness to learn was there. It's all about the intention, right? So the intention for her was to be great. And she was making really awful mistakes, but it was just a lack of education, not a lack of willingness. So we worked together, taught her some things. She kept missing microwaves for whatever reason. And I was like, leave when you get to the unit, I want you to put your car keys in the microwave because you can't leave until it's done. And I use that in a lot of places now when I have somebody consistently missing something. I'll see them check into a house and I'll go, put your car keys in the refrigerator. You know, you keep missing that refrigerator. Otherwise, you get a perfect score on your inspection. But anyway, she got into this. She got it to the point where she was making $25, $35 an hour, got interested in real estate, was with me for about 2.5, 3 years, got her real estate license, still cleaning for me on the side. And she ended up selling me my first house ever that I bought with the money from my cleaning business and our hosting business. So it was kind of this full circle idea of you give back to your team. And anytime I've had cleaners who are really good at this and I see leadership potential in them, I sit them down and I go, you have the potential to have a company. And I've got my business plan and I share that with the girls if they ask for it. And I kind of just mentor them on starting their own company. And that's how we were able to grow with great cleaning scores, because I've got a couple people who worked for me as independent cleaners and now have started their own business. One of my girls is killing it. She's not even a full year in. And she's got, I think, 14 people on her team at this point, and she's handling about 60% of my turnovers at this point. Yeah. So it's kind of feeding back into your team and other people see that. And every once in a while I will grab them and I'll go, you need your own business. Like, you are great at this. You're weird in your head. You should be in this industry. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while you see somebody and you go, you have that little something that's that sparkle that will work here. So you should get into this. You should think about it. And you just put it in their head. I have people who show up and want to clean and leave too. Totally okay. I'm all right with you wanting to make your money and go. But if they want opportunity there, totally. And we do stuff for our day-to-day cleaners too. Not everybody wants to own a business. Mm-hmm. But with our inspection scores, we do different kind of competitions. We just had something... I score my cleaners two separate ways. We do overall cleaning scores, and then we give them a score for likeliness of a guest complaint, just to kind of teach them where their effort should go. When you're tight on time, you know, a wrapper under the bed doesn't hit as hard as not cleaning a toilet. Not every mistake is on the same scale. So what we did a little competition. We did two Dysons this last month that are two top cleaners. Whoever got the best scores, they got new Dysons. And I do like to get them stuff that helps them with their business, making their money faster. And that's one of those things that helps. But we do free flights. We do nights in the units. That's really helpful for them to see from a guest perspective what it's like. I remember being a cleaner and I went to go meet a client and I sat down on the couch and I went, I've been cleaning this for a year and I've never sat here. This is strange. Like, it's a different perspective when you're in it and you're living it or staying there for the night than it is when you're running around trying to clean, swearing inside of your head while you're sweating. Like,
that's an interesting, that's an interesting point that you just made, like perspective of like actually having them, like, reward them with a stay. I mean, I know they're cleaning it, so they might not want to, but like, hey, I'm going to pay, I'm going to like buy you dinner. We'll have it delivered to the house. But yep. I frame it as if like, I really want you to see it from the guest's perspective and why all the things that you do are so important and how it impacts their stay. That's an interesting, do you let them stay in the units that they clean? Like, do they actually really like that though? You know, I'm like, as I'm saying it, I'm like, they're in there all the time doing the cleaning. Do they actually want to stay there?
Yeah. So it's, well, we've got 100 just in Pittsburgh. So they're not in everything all the time, but we've got a couple of like these showstoppers, you know what I mean? Like that have like, they've got the hot tubs or the rooftop deck and the fire pits. So if they have, you know, a birthday coming up or something, we'll be like, okay, take two friends, go stay in the unit. Mm-hmm. We do discounts for our team too. And we'll have, they'll book the houses. We give them like a pretty hefty discount. They'll book the houses and say, okay, I'm going to do my baby shower here. Or, you know, we have somebody looking at one of our houses to do her engagement party kind of thing. It's a big family. And it's just, we want to give back to what we can. And it's helpful because Chad and I have our own units. So we can do, but with a client property, definitely have to get permission for something like that before.
So let's go to the clients.
Yes.
Because obviously you've done well, like finding all the cleaners, but what are those, and you guys have, like you said, you have 100+ units in Pittsburgh. What are those non-negotiables though, when you're setting up and working with those clients? Because obviously they need to support you with your cleaning team and your high standards. So what are non-negotiables there? Because I feel like that's happening right now. We have a lot of people in our membership. They're co-hosts. They have so many clients coming to them. And it's like, how do I set boundaries? What are those non-negotiables when maybe you're just getting started and you don't know yet what one of your non-negotiables would be? So how can you assist there?
Well, there's a beginning game and there's an end game. In the beginning, I had to do a lot of stuff I didn't want to do. when you're walking into your first client management, you have to take on properties that are a lot of work. You're generally dealing with current hosts or clients that are kind of in the thick of it. People don't call us because things are going great, you know? But sometimes we're dealing with brand new properties and then you have to step into, I'm going to educate you on this. So in the beginning, it was, I had to be available all the time. I had to assume 5 different hats all the time. I was doing a lot of things that I wasn't charging for, but I had to prove myself because I wasn't big enough and I didn't have that track record yet. Now I'm about 3, maybe 4 years into HostWise. And, you know, it's a little bit more in my favor. My non-negotiables are pretty strict. And if people don't like my rules, then we're not going to work with you. We kind of talked about it when we were at IMN a little bit, where I said, when a client comes to me, I can go, we have a 4.93 overall, which is really hard to do when you're at our size. I don't know that a lot of people have it, because we're focused on such quality. So my reviews are there. My occupancy is up. And my price per night, I'm peak season, I'm priced 40% over market price at this point. So I have all those bargaining chips in my favor. People see us, they know we're busy, they know our reviews are great. We also have a really great reputation in our community and with our neighbors. A lot of this stuff comes word from mouth. So I go into it listening to what people want to say, but I turn down 90% of my leads right now. I'm still growing, but I want to do restrained growth. I want to make sure I'm growing well and that my team can catch up. But when I'm walking into a client meeting, I am totally transparent. There are some times where they give me a house and I go, I have no idea if this would be good. Like, I honestly don't know. I've never been in anything like it. We can try it, but I can't promise you anything. Here's what AirDNA says, but I just don't know. That doesn't happen too often, but if I feel that way, I'm really upfront about it. Non-negotiables with clients. I just did a new client meeting. Probably that first half hour is me just educating them on our systems and our standards, and this is what you can expect if you sign up for us. And my second part of my meeting is I go, if you talk to other people, I want you to ask these five questions. If I want to land a listing, that is what gets it for me every time, because there are things that I have covered in our business that I know other people haven't. So I go, make sure you ask them A, B, and C. And that always works for me because I know nobody has those answers. But non-negotiables with clients, they have to understand my hierarchy. I'm really upfront about this. My neighborhood and community come first. If there are any issues with that, that's what I address first. Then it's my team, then it's my guest, then it's my client. If they're sending me a message about, you know, they have an owner's day coming up and they want to add a day 6 months from now, I'm not going to respond to you right away, especially if it's a Sunday and I'm doing 70 checkouts. You know what I mean? But I'm very clear with them. You have your 24/7 hotline to our entire team. It goes to whoever's on for the day. They have an owner's dashboard. They can see their financials. They can create owner stays. They can do a lot of stuff themselves. But for some reason, everybody wants my time or my partner's time. So I'm really upfront in telling them, you're going to deal with me now, but I want you to be prepared that you're going to be walking to somebody else. Biggest thing, and I feel like everybody kind of walks into this, people want to launch yesterday. And I go, we have protocols we have to go through. I have to do my maintenance check. Like, we've got to do staging, new photos. And they go, so can we be up in a week? And I have to set expectations for how long that's going to take based on where they are. And also people that don't want to be to our quality. I talk a lot about amenities and how important it is. I don't want my places just to be somewhere to sleep. If I'm getting into conversations where they're like, well, my great grandmother's bed is in my garage and I'm going to bring it here, they're probably not for me, because they're not super worried about their guest experience. And then going over safety, having them understand these are our safety protocols. These are the devices that we have to have in the house. And these are the monthly subscriptions that you'll be charged for, just all those kind of conversations.
Well, I want to talk about two things, because I've got a couple budding co-hosts in the back of my head that I've been trying to drive this home with them. And I feel, Stephanie, like maybe you'll be the ticket. Let's talk about staging and getting mm-hmm. onboarding a property that is to your brand standards. Do you do in-house staging? And if you do, if the client wants to use a different designer or stager, talk to me about that. Or is there a one way to do it if they want to be onboarded to HostWise?
So if somebody wants to do their own, we've run into that. We will guide them through it. And I do have an owner's guide for doing that, because we do have a couple remote clients as well, where it's not possible for me to set up their houses. But we prefer to do it. We do all of our in-house staging. I design the houses. Sometimes we do remodels. But competition is tough out there. And to your credit, too, one of those things that really hit me in the heart popped in my feed that you guys said, where Airbnb isn't going anywhere, bad hosting is. Mm-hmm. Like, that starts with setting up the house and the things that we put in there. Anytime I've had a client do it themselves, they've quit halfway through and we've had to redo a lot of their work. And in turn, it's cost them a lot more in both money and time. So we're really upfront with the fact of the way we do things. We've set up 106 of these in under 4 years. We've got a method to the madness. I've got a warehouse. So I buy things bulk. So a lot of the times I can bring my branding items in at a discounted price for them. And they're sitting on a shelf. We're not dealing with something no one is ever prepared for, is the amount of cardboard and trash that happens when you're setting up a unit. It's things like that that people don't understand. And I go, have a plan for trash. And they go, yeah, okay. And I go, no, really, like, have a plan for trash. But I prefer to do it in-house, just because we follow a pretty, we follow the same system in every house.
Yeah.
And when I'm in control, I know where my team is. I can schedule it out for everybody. It just goes smoother. And we know all of our boxes are checked. Sometimes you got to live and work in a house for a little bit to learn all of your kind of like troubleshooting and quirks, you know? So when somebody has a question and I go, okay, that doorknob in the basement does stick when it gets warm out, just lift it up slightly, like things like that. It sounds stupid, but it's super helpful.
Yes. Knowing the houses inside and out is definitely our superpower. I've got one more question for you, and it is, I feel like we get to talk to all these cool, co-hosts and budding co-hosts on Instagram DMs, or we're at the conferences, and they're so hospitable to a fault, where they want to work for free, essentially, you know what I mean, at the end of the day. And I heard you say something that triggered me, where these are the subscriptions that we need to operate your home optimally, and these are the charges that you're going to have above and beyond the commission that we earn. Can you dig into that? How did you find out that you can't support all these subscriptions that it takes to really beat the competition? How do your clients handle that? Do there, you know, I don't know if you guys do trust accounting or invoicing, but what's worked for you as you've figured out what works best for your healthy business that you can sustain so that you can continue to be this great employer and community advocate?
Well, sometimes I get surprised that we don't get a lot of pushback, because we do charge for everything extra. But in the grand scheme of things, we're really setting their property up for success. But I think when they see the amount, you have to have your data too, right? We talk about data a lot in this business, and that's where my partner comes in, because he just kills it. He's like the Taylor Swift of data and pricing, I swear to God. But I'll say to him, how much more does a king bed make me versus a queen? And we sit down and we make it, and the answer is $6,000 a year. I kind of use that approach when I get into our technology or our maintenance and the different aspects that we charge for. And most of the time, because we almost are like wholesaling everything, quote unquote, like our lawn and landscaping, I mean, I can give them 100 units, so I get a better price than they would just doing it on their own. Same thing goes for our safety equipment and subscriptions. When you get to a certain size, like, you just get a deal. But what it comes down to is I'm just making my clients more money than anybody else. So somebody else might not charge for this, but at the end of the day, they're making more money with me because our pricing strategies are spot on and our reviews are spot on. So in turn, we're making them more money than they would with someone else. Sometimes I have to have those educating talks with my clients too, when they go, oh, this person is only this percentage and you're this percentage. And I went, yeah, but in the long run, this is all included, so you're going to make more money with us. And I don't dive deep into that. If somebody doesn't want to work with me, I don't really go after them. You know what I mean? I'm like, I understand. And there's been a couple of times where that's happened and they went to somebody else because they had a lower commission. And a lot of those houses ended up being mine anyway, because things didn't go well.
Yep, for sure.
And the explanation of why we need some of this stuff, like my minutes and my cameras, those are non-negotiables. Those minute devices have saved me thousands of dollars of damage, just being able to shut down bad guests quickly.
Can you, because you are further along, this is my final question. And there are so many co-hosts, again, they are so hungry. And you're talking like, oh, I like, sorry, I kind of said you just had an error there. Oh, I turned down 90% of my clients.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I know, was it the cleaning that really catapulted the leads? What do you think your secret sauce was in the beginning? So kind of like rewind it to getting all of those clients before you could start turning them down. You know, what was that shift? Where were you finding your clients?
In the beginning, the cleaning did put us a step ahead. And there are two specific reasons for that. We launched the week before COVID hit. So that was, you know, it was a crazy time for everybody, where they watched a bunch of cancellations and people thought like, this is over. But I had been cleaning these units for 2 years. So everybody was catching up at this point to try to get their cleaning scores up. And that's hard to do. To try to get any score up on Airbnb or VRBO, it's difficult. But we were already there. I remember when the COVID cleaning protocol came out, I went, okay, we do everything on this list. We're good to go. I think the only thing we ended up adding in was disinfecting toilet brushes. And I felt pretty good about that. But so we were, you have to break down and look what people are reviewing. Communication is kind of give me stars at that point. There shouldn't be issues with communication if you're, you know, just starting. Like, you should be on that all the time. That should be easy points. Check in too. Cleaning, you have to understand that maintenance, there's not a spot for them to rate that. So that comes across in your cleaning score a lot as well. So those two things need to be addressed. Value, I don't care about. I don't want somebody to check out and go, I feel like I paid enough for this. Like, this was a good deal. I'm okay to lose a little bit of my stars on value and push the pricing per night a little bit. That's okay with me. So in the beginning, how they found us, honestly, like Facebook group. They found us that way. And it was just, does anybody do this? And we had 4 units of our own and they could see that we were going okay, but it was tough. I think before you go and get clients though, the most important thing to do is to definitely get your systems into place. I think everybody, even with growing, and everywhere you always hear people talking about, oh, I set up this many units, now I have this many and that many. It doesn't, quantity means nothing if you're doing it badly. It's not impressive. I had a conversation with somebody at the last conference and they said, oh, I just put up 20 units in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. I went, you did 20 units in 2 weeks? And they were like, yeah. And I went, there's no way they're any good. That sounds snarky, but it makes me mad because I'm like, your guests are going to have a terrible experience. So get your systems into play before you go searching for anybody. And when you explain the systems that you have to potential clients, that's the stuff that sells you, especially safety. A lot of people, they have personal attachments to their homes. They want to know everything's going to be okay. And they also want to know that they're not going to be held liable. So safety definitely is a selling point. Tell them how you're going to make it better than everybody else. And don't be afraid to charge for everything. As long as you do it well, but don't do a lot of stuff for free. In the beginning I did, and I regret it. Because I look back now and I think if I would have charged for it, nobody would have blinked an eye, honestly.
Yeah. And I think too, nothing can replace you being in those units for 2 years, seeing it being done poorly. I'm sure there were some hosts that you worked with that were actually doing, you know, had a few great things going on that you could learn from. But being in the trenches like that, like in the units before the guests, after the guests, there's nothing that can replace that. And I do think just... kind of said it like last year, maybe it was 2022, or it's like the year of the co-host, because it felt like people finally started to see how much work it takes to run a successful short-term rental. And so there were, I saw this like huge push for people to offload their property onto someone else to do it. And it was just, it takes a special human being to be able to be communicative, to have to be a people person, but to also be a data person. And if you're not that person, you got your person. So there's just so many things that you put in your recipe that were spot on, that were had, there's no way you can't be successful because you've made these choices for yourself.
I also think people get into this and they think it's real estate. And in some sense it is, but like we're in the hospitality business. That's the reason why traditional property management companies aren't great at this. Yeah. No one likes their landlord. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, now we're going to put these people in charge of guest communications. That's terrible. Like I remember like me living in an apartment and like waiting for them to turn my water on for like 8 days. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we make it look easy and people think that it is, but it's not. You're spot on when you say it takes a different kind of human. Like, it's all a special breed to be in this industry.
Which is great. It leaves all that work for us.
Yeah. Stephanie, where can people come stay with you, find out more about you, learn about HostWise and Stephanie West?
Sure. So we have a couple of different things. We've got our units in Pittsburgh. We're in Austin, Texas, Siesta Key, in Winter Park, Colorado. We have HostWise stays. We can do direct bookings on there. Obviously, Airbnb, VRBO, whatever channel you can book a place on, you can find us on. We also have something called Steelstra, which is something my partner and I started. You can go to steelstra.org, and it's basically us educating people on how to run properties safely. 3 years ago in Pittsburgh, there was a deadly shooting at an Airbnb, and we had a feeling we don't have a lot of regulation here. So we want to make sure this information is out there for people to learn on how you prevent things like that. And then hostwisestays.com. So all of that stuff, Instagram, we're everywhere.
Love it. This has been awesome. And listeners, if you take any of Stephanie's advice, like, I want to know if you go on Turno and you get your first lead, or what I hear through here is starting and then partnering with the right people. So you got to start and then partner. And it was you partnering with the right clients, the right cleaners, and then your business partner, Chad. So this has been great.
It's my favorite part about this business is it gives you back what you put into it. It's meant for entrepreneurs, but people who like to hustle and work hard, the more you put in, I like being scored every day. I'm competitive. So it gives me a little extra drive. But this industry, if you put a lot into it, it'll give it right back to you.
Ooh, that's the mic drop.
All right.
Exclamation point on the show.
Well, I'm Sarah Karakane.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting.
Back to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets? They're all inside our SDR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE must-have master list by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.